ten Pentecostal minutes, that is. So that's a difference between regular minutes. But you know what? I want to follow the Holy Ghost. That's the most important thing to me, is following the Holy Ghost. Brother Crosswhite asked me to preach this morning, and the week has been extremely busy. And yesterday was really busy. We had a little girl turning 6 years old. My baby is turning six, and so we celebrated her yesterday. And after the hustle and bustle, had all left the house about 8:30. My wife was like, "Are you going to go and study?" And I said, "No, the atmosphere is still too turbulent." I said, "There's too much chaos in the house. I need some time for the atmosphere to settle down." So I set my alarm clock for early, and I woke up earlier than my alarm clock and began to seek the Lord and ask Him to guide me. So if we could turn into our Bibles, first to Proverbs. Chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually." That means it's not just a one-time thing. That means it's something that I have to do all the time. That I can't just wake up one morning and say, I'm not going to bind it today. Oh, but I have to bind it continually. And continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. It's something about having something around your neck as a constant reminder, in my opinion. Whenever I was growing up, if things got too tight around my neck, I would begin to gag. I didn't like anything too tight around my neck. So a lot of my shirts you will see pulled off of my neck, and that's for a reason. I don't like anything around my neck, but it's a reminder. If there's something about my neck, I can feel it. I know it's there. And so going to verse 22, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee," talking about the commandments of your father and the law of your mother. "When thou goest, it shall keep thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." I'm going to read that again. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." I will come back to that verse. Keep your Bibles open, but if you'll switch over, slip over to Psalms chapter 119. Very familiar passage of Scripture, 119, verse 105. "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as I was reading this, the Lord said, "Go on." And so I read to the next verse that I've never read before pertaining to this scripture. "I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteousness and judgments." I'm tying verse 106. "I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteousness and judgments," back to Proverbs, binding them continually about thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to bring your word. God, I ask you to touch, Lord, anoint me. I know your word is already anointed. I ask you to touch our ears, that we hear your word, Lord, and that we are obedient, that our hearts are in tune with you. Lord, I give you praise and glory for your presence today, and I thank you for what you're doing in this house. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, I was a radio dispatcher whenever I turned 18. I got a job with a sheriff's office, one of the largest counties in the state of Texas, and I became a 911 radio dispatcher. And I would answer the phone calls of 911 for many, many years, and I would also dispatch emergency calls across the radio. So when I came across this, I thought it kind of funny. It's a story of two radio operators discussing between each other. First radio operator comes across the radio and it says, "Attention, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." A second radio operator comes in and says, "Actually, we recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south." The first radio operator comes back across the radio and says, "This is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. We are a destroyer, and again, I say divert your course." Radio operator number two comes back in and says, "No, I say again, you divert your course." The first radio operator, being frustrated, said, "We will take immediate action if you do not divert your course. We are prepared to do whatever is necessary. Divert your course now." The second operator came across the radio and says, "Well, sir, this is a lighthouse. It's your call." So today I want to talk to us on the subject, if you could put that up there, of "You are the light keeper." It's funny that the church name is Apostolic Lighthouse. And a lighthouse in our country has been extremely and of the most utmost importance to early world travel. Before planes were ever invented, ships were moving about. Before there was any kind of air travel whatsoever, there was boats and ships that sailed to port from the New World, as they knew it, back and forth to the European countries. And so lighthouses began to be built. The definition of a lighthouse was a tower or a building or a structure designed to emit a light from a system of lamps and lenses used to aid in navigation. Lighthouses were built all along the coast of the United States and throughout the world to mark dangerous or hazardous areas, as well as to assist in safe entries into harbors. Eventually, lighthouses were even used for aerial navigation. At night, the lighthouse was lit with a single candlelight. It was a lamp during the nighttime. And during the day, the lighthouse was painted in certain ways and certain directions as landmarks. As you can see, and maybe you can see those in the pictures, the lighthouse to the left in that picture up there is Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. It is the tallest lighthouse built in the United States, and it is at 198 feet tall. The lighthouse to the right is the oldest lighthouse built in the United States. It was built in 1764 as the original lighthouse there in the East Coast. I think the oldest one was in New Jersey, and one of the oldest one is, I think, in South Carolina, or the Carolinas. The tallest one is in New Jersey, but it's there on the East Coast. But anyway, so they were striped. Those are day marks. Certain lighthouses were given certain indications during the day so you could identify as a landmark where you were in the air or in the sea. The lamp was the source of light, fueled early on by vegetable oil or even used animal fat to burn the single candle light. It was then progressed to kerosene lamps and then later to electricity. If I was to represent anything in this, in my life, towards a lighthouse, I want to encourage you today, this morning, that we are all lighthouses to this dark world. Every person under the sound of my voice is a specific lighthouse to your specific area. You are a light into this dark world. And so you have something in you, a light, a lamp, that people are going to be able to see. And so this lamp is the word of God. It's God anointed oil in your life. It's his commandments. Jeremiah described it in Jeremiah chapter 20. As he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was very weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Ultimately, Jeremiah says that there was something within me, something that burned, something that I had to let out, something that was, I could not keep to myself, but I had to tell somebody about God. The lighthouse was also made of a lens. A lens was a magnifying glass that consecrated that single candle of light. And it would project it miles across the ocean water. That lighthouse would take one single candle light and begin to be a beacon of hope for ships out at sea that were lost. And that light, as it would come across, as that lens would come across the face of the water, that light, that lens would magnify that single candle watt, that little bitty candle, and it would begin to magnify it. Not all the times could you see the beam go across the water. Most of the time, you couldn't see, but just a flicker in the darkness. And so they say that the ship's captains and the vessels that would get lost at sea, they would begin to look across the water and they would try to see a landmark of some sort. And if the storm was too dark, if the waves were too strong, or if there was any kind of darkness that they couldn't see where the land was, they would begin to look for that flashing light, that little bit of ember of hope, of where am I and what am I doing? Sorry. I was always told not to preach a dry message, so. As important as a lighthouse is, as important as that structure that stands before you today is, it would not be there without a keeper. The law of the Lord, the word of God that is within our lives every day. That in America, I can tell you that they say that there's at least access of two Bibles in every household. In America, I can tell you I have one in my car, I have one in my truck, I have one in my living room, I have one in my bedroom. It's within arm's reach everywhere I go. And I came to the realization that not only am I a lighthouse, but I am a keeper of this lighthouse. And so, without the keeper of the lighthouse, the beauty of the lighthouse would not be there. The beauty that stands before you in even these two pictures today would not be. Without the keeper of the lighthouse, it would grow up and it would, the vegetation would grow up around it and it would eventually lose its candle watt power. It would eventually lose electricity. It would eventually fall and dilapidate over time without a keeper of that lighthouse. The keeper of the lighthouse is the person that is responsible for tending and caring to the lighthouse, particularly the light and the lens and the days of the oil lamps and the clockworking mechanism. Now, I realize today we still have roughly, they said there's about 20,000 lighthouses worldwide. There is about 1,500 in the United States. And of those 1,500, between 200 and 600 are still active and used today. But what I'm wanting to say is that if it wasn't for the keepers of the lighthouse, back in the day, they used oils and lamps. They used candle watts. And we have electricity now today that has brought prominence into the lighthouse world where they can make brighter lights. But the most important thing of the lighthouse keeper is that he took care of the lighthouse. He made it particularly his, it was his job. A lighthouse keeper is not a 9-to-5 job. It is not a get up in the morning, take care of business, and be off by 5 o'clock. A lighthouse keeper is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they say, they kept the wicks trimmed. They kept the lamps burning until the daytime hours. And they would put the lamp out during the daytime. They would trim it, and they would prepare it during the daytime hours. They would prepare it for the nighttime shift. And so there was constantly work. The windows had to be clean. There could not be any varnish or anything on the windows. The lens of the magnifying glass had to be kept clean. Everything about the lighthouse had to be kept clean, that there was no off time. It was important. Did you know they also were in charge of fog signals? The lighthouse keepers were. They were also in charge of listening to the weather station. And at the same time, they say that they were also key players in search and rescue missions for ships lost at sea. Everybody under the sound of my voice, we play a critical and essential part in the kingdom of God. It is our job in maintaining our relationship with God. It is my job to keep myself in line with God. Because not just personally, but starting out personally, I have a wife and 3 beautiful girls. And I have to make sure that the path is lit for them in this dark world. But not only that, when I walk through Walmart, I have to let my light shine. I have to let people see the love of God and the mercies of God and the goodness of God. The Bible says the goodness of God is what leadeth to repentance. And if God, and if people doesn't see that, they say first impressions are when people see you, your first impression is established within 7 seconds. Within the 7 seconds of walking through Walmart, somebody that's hungry will know if they can approach me or not. Within 7 seconds of walking into the grocery store, and it doesn't have to be Walmart. I just use the people of Walmart because the people of Walmart need Jesus. But what I am saying is it is important for me as somebody who has the Holy Ghost, not just a minister, not just somebody who I feel like has a calling on my life, but me as somebody who has the Holy Ghost, that me as somebody who has been baptized in Jesus' name, me as somebody who has experienced the love and the mercies of God, it is important that no matter how tall I am or how old I am, that I represent the kingdom of God. And so I've come here to teach this morning more than anything that keeping ourselves in line, keeping, whenever I got in law enforcement, they had a, the first agency that I got in with, they had a big sign on the back of the door, as we would walk out to our patrol cars, and it would say, "Don't tarnish the badge." And it was a reminder for us to keep our integrity, to do what was right. Most police officers I know that they try to do what is right, but there are some that make it bad for everybody. But that I still remember the picture to this day, "Don't tarnish the badge." And so that's something that has kind of stuck with me, that I don't want to tarnish the Word of God with my life. When I walk outside the doors of my house, I want the light to shine through me. I don't want to be tarnished, but I want to be clean. I don't want to be, I know I have bad days. We all have bad days. There's times that I'm short-fused, but it's, I don't want people outside to be affected by negativity in my life. So I try to do my hardest. I try hard to represent the kingdom of God. And so I remind myself that I am the light keeper, that it's my responsibility as men and women of God, that it's our responsibility to keep the wicks of our hearts trimmed, to keep the lamp of God burning in our lives, to keep the windows clean and free from sin. We are the signal to our families to which they will follow. We are to stay in tune with the Word of God as those that stay in tune into the forecast. As the light keepers of the lighthouse would listen to the radio, we need to make sure that we are listening to the Word of God. I can tell you right now that the Lord has spoken to me in an audible voice. Some people said that they've never heard an audible voice from God. But I've had the privilege and the fear that crept in that prayer room that day. But it's something that I hold fast to. It's something that I keep an ear out to, listening. God, what does your word say? What is the direction are you wanting me to go? So we are to stay in tune to the Word of God, just as those that are in the keepers of the lighthouse or the lighthouse keepers stay in tune to the Weather Channel. I tell my wife all the time to be vigilant when she goes into town without me, to always maintain a awareness all the way around you, to don't get focused on your phone while you're walking out to the parking lot, because I know people. And as a police officer, it's one of those things that I'm just like, predators prey on the unexpected. And so spiritually, we have to do the same thing. Spiritually, we have to keep an awareness, a situational awareness around what we're doing and where we're going. So every morning, early in the morning, I get up and I seek after God. I labor after God. Sometimes it feels like labor. My prayer time is got its highs and it's got its lows, and I'm probably the only one that feels that way. But it's like sometimes that I just can't push through. But then there's days that the Lord's waiting right there. But either way, I know God's still in my living room. God's still in my prayer closet. And he knows that I am able, whenever I get up and make the conscientious effort to crawl myself out of bed, to begin to work on this keeper, to begin to trim some things off of this lamp. God's working on us. God wants to encourage you today that you can make it, and that you can bring people to the house of God, that you can reach. All you have to do is keep yourself Work on yourself. Work on your walk. Because I know if I keep myself, then I know four that are going to follow after me for sure. But I want others. I want others. I want to reach souls. I want to reach souls for the kingdom of God. So going back, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I believe that going into the scripture that I read, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is the light, and reproof is instructions are the way of life. I'm going to go into it like this. The lamp is that burning fire shut up in my bones. The lens, it's that light. It's that light that shines through me. It's the word of God magnified in your life for others to see. And I put most important, me being the keeper, I am the keeper of my soul, which means I have to reprove myself and instruct myself at times. I realize we have a pastor that we look to and we follow after as he follows after God. But my pastor is not with me 24 hours a day. I am my light keeper. I have to keep that light. The Apostle Paul states that I die daily. We were a light. We are designed as a light to the Nacogdoches area. I'm a keeper of this lighthouse. So when I walk into the public, people are looking. The darkness of this world, I can tell you, I hear complaints all the time. How bad our country is. And we blame it on Biden. Blame it on Trump. Blame it on Obama. I blame it on all of them. Ain't one of them any better than the other one. We live in a dark world. And it's our responsibility to be that light. But I can't focus on what they do and don't do. What I have to focus on is me. I have to focus on the things that I'm doing. I have to focus on the things, the way that I'm going. Because if I can bring light to the city of Nacogdoches, if I can bring light to one person, and that one person light off, and he can or she can bring light to another person, that's how fires are started. Just a little spark. Brother Crosswhite talked about it the other day. Just a little spark. Just a little heat, an ignition source, oxygen, fuel. Fires get lit off. So if I go to my job and I can say, and in the midst of all of the complaining that happens on my job, I can say, you know what? Today's going to be a good day because God has made this day. God has created this day. This is a new day for me. It's a new day for God. It's a new day for you. And I've actually, it's funny, I've actually had people come up to me and, or call me and say, man, Colton, there's just something about you. Like, you're always happy. I would rather call you and talk to you because I feel encouraged after I talk to you. It's not a pat on my back. I'm not magnifying myself, but I'm magnifying God because that's who I represent. As a keeper of my lighthouse, I represent the kingdom of God. And so I want people to be like, there's something different about you that I want. I'm tired of the dreary. I'm tired of the dull. I'm tired of the negative. Tired and tired and tired. People, the world is tired. But the world is hungry. This is the house of the Lord. First Chronicles, David speaks, saying, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Everything I do is not for me. It is to represent God. Everything that I have is not mine. It's God's. I am the keeper. I have been put over and in charge. The Lord blessed me with a beautiful home. That's not mine. That's God's. That's my mindset. The home that I have, the home that the Lord has blessed me with, is God's. I'm just the keeper of it. I have to maintain it. I have to keep it looking good. I have to keep it keep in focus on the things that I do. So, I want to be like the virgins, the five wise that kept their vessels full. They kept their vessels full because they knew that there was a time coming. There's a time coming. Congregation, this morning, there's a time coming. I've heard it said all my life, Jesus is coming again soon. It's closer today than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I just turned 39, and I've heard it since I was 2. That's when my mama got in church. This is not a hellfire and brimstone message. I understand it's Sunday morning, but I want you to focus on keeping your lighthouse. If there's something in your walk with God, I was told the other day that if there's something between you and God, you realize that it's closer to God than it is than you are. If there's something that's in your walk with God that prevents you from getting closer to God, whatever that is closer to God than you are. So I've come to encourage you this morning. I'm not going to be long, much longer than I already have been. But I want to encourage you that you are your own keeper. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to walk with God and to keep the power source plugged in to the Word of God. To keep my lighthouse, to keep my lamp burning, to keep the windows of my heart clean. Because I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to bring others with me. And I'm not in another country. I'm not in a foreign country. I'm not a missionary to all the mission fields in the world. I mean, I think I would like to be, but my mission field is here. My mission field is my neighbors. My mission field is my friends that don't have the Holy Ghost. My mission field is my family that don't have the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. My uncle actually looked at my dad the other day and he said, and they've been brought up real strong missionary Baptist. I mean, strong missionary Baptist. I'm not saying anything against them, but I'm saying there's more. My uncle looked at my dad and said, you know what? He said, we were raised wrong. He said, Mom always told us to read the Bible, but she never helped us to study it. And that's profound coming from my uncle. He said, Mom always told us to read our Bible, but she never told us to study it. She never instructed us how to study it. I want my light to reach to my girls, to reach to my daughter. I want to lead my wife in the right path. I want to lead my family in the right path. I want to lead my dad in the right path. I want to lead my friends in the right path. I want to lead friends that come in occasionally and go out. I want them to come and stay. But I have to keep living right. Brother Wesley, I have to, every time I go into work, I have to represent God. Every time you walk through your work doors, you're the keeper of your lighthouse. Is your yard mowed? Is your lawn kept? Does your lighthouse look like this? Does it represent God? Beautiful. I know days you don't always feel like this. You don't always feel like the sky is blue and there's no really clouds in the sky. There's times that we have clouds. We're frustrated and irritated. Life is coming against us. But during that same time, I still have to keep the lighthouse. I still have to keep it clean. I still have to keep the lamps burning. I still have to keep the wick trimmed. I still have to keep the Word of God alive. And I can tell you right now, I have, I'm getting ready to close. I started a men's prayer group where I text the men every morning. I try to text the men every morning. And time gets away from me. And I'll hit the door running. I'll get up. And sometimes more than others, there's times that I can text every day, and then there's times that I just hit the door running. It's busy, busy. Last week, we had a vacation day on Monday. So Tuesday through Friday was just... But I tried to text the men every morning, and somebody texts me and checked on me, and I thank them for it. I had somebody else text me and tell me that they were praying for me, and I thank them for it. But then I had somebody else text me, and they said, I want you to know that I need these messages every morning. I'm not in church. I'm not there all the time. But I want you to know that these messages reach me. This person has never texted not one time back, ever, since I started these messages 200 days ago. 200 messages ago. I'm keeping account. This person has never texted me not one time, hey, thank you. Nothing. But he texted me and he said, I just want you to know that I'm getting your messages and that I really need them. And that really encourages me to keep my lighthouse, to keep shining. I might shine differently than you shine. My light might not reach the areas that your light is going to reach. Brother Will, I'm not going to be able to reach everybody that you can reach. But this Holy Ghost thing that you got a hold of two Sundays ago, don't let it go. This is just the beginning. Keep the lit, keep the trim, the wick trimmed, keep the light burning. Reach others. Let others see the light in your life. We can stand. I wasn't planning on being long today. I just wanted to encourage somebody that their Father's commandment, the law of your mother, forsake them not. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Every single morning, get up and grind through. Don't hit snooze on the alarm clock. It's so hard not to hit snooze on the alarm clock. I hit snooze on the alarm clock a lot. So I'm preaching to me too. But let God work on you. Let God have that light in your life. Be the keeper. Because if you don't keep the light in your life, if you don't keep the light going, the light burning, nobody else is. I can't rely on pastor to keep my light burning. I can rely on pastor for encouragement, for direction, for reproof and correction. But I have to keep it clean. I have to keep it lit. I enjoy being able to be encouraged by others, but I also enjoy encouraging others. So I challenge you today, for the rest of the week, text somebody and encourage them in the Lord. Maybe somebody in the church that you haven't seen in a while. Maybe somebody that's not in church, a family member or a friend. But I challenge you this week, once a day, reach out to somebody that you know needs the Holy Ghost. And just tell them you love them. Don't text them you need the Holy Ghost. I mean, follow the Holy Ghost. That's what he tells you to do. But there's people in my life that need to know that I care. That need to know that I am a keeper of my lighthouse and I'm going to shine as far as I can shine for everybody that I can shine to. Matthew 5:14-15. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And they give it light to all that are in the house. You're your light keeper. It's your responsibility. I'll encourage you. I can help you as much as I can. If you ever need anything, I'll be there. But it's your responsibility to keep your light. It's your responsibility to hold on to this truth and not let it go. Only you and God are in your prayer closet at home. And I hope you have a prayer closet. If you don't have a prayer closet, find one. Make one. My prayer closet is in my living room. So it's not a closet. Unless it's a big closet. You can consider that. But I knew a guy who had a closet as big as my living room. But even all the money in the world doesn't compare to what we have in God right here. This is what keeps me. And as long as I'm in this, I can keep my lighthouse. I can keep it clean. And I can reach. You know, Paul and who was it that was who came across the lame man at the gate? Beautiful. Peter and John? Trivia question. If they had not been keeping their lights trimmed, would they have passed him by? Instead of stopping and saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Could they have been distracted with other things if they hadn't been on point and keeping sharp? I don't want to ever get lazy. I don't ever get mundane. And oh, trust me, I like work days that I don't have to work so hard. But then I end up finding something to waste my time. Don't waste time with God. Keep your light. Keep it trimmed. Keep it burning. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. my life to be that light that I reach to others. That I don't hold all this to myself, but there's souls that are dying. And I have to keep myself in a position to reach them. I have to keep myself and my light lit. So I encourage you this week, keep your light lit and reach to somebody. If you just reach to one, make it one a day. That's seven by the end of the week. Just reach out. Tell them you love them. Encourage them. Hallelujah. Remember the announcements. Take this with you. Take it to go. Don't leave it here. Grandparents, thank y'all. We honor you today. Don't forget to get your gift bag in the foyer there on your way out. And let's go to heaven together. Church starts at 6 o'clock this evening. Prayer. See y'all here. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.